Hey, I'm all right. I thank you, preacher, for introducing me. I thought that boy was coming to sing. They said that girl had throat trouble. I ain't never seen anybody have to use crutches with throat trouble. Joy to be here tonight. I appreciate all of you. Thank you for being so good to me and James. We just may not go home because they don't treat us this way at the house. My wife will say, "Did you take out your trash?" It's good to know you've got some. Thank you, brother. Did you slop the hogs? But up here, all I've done is preach and eat and lay down. And in that order. And I love it. Yes, Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us, watching over us, taking care of us. I'm glad, God, your word is forever settled in heaven. And God, you helped this poor preacher tonight. Because, God, you know without you I cannot do anything. And you help me. And be with us. God bless us. Hold us up. Keep us going. Help us to say what we need to say and not say anything we shouldn't. We ask it in the precious, blood-stained, holy, righteous name of the Son of God. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter number 29. If you have a Scofield Bible, that's page 516. And if you perhaps don't find it, being it's in the Old Testament, just act like you have, and there won't be anybody know a thing about it. And if they look at you, just tell them, "I'm using another version." All right, I'm going to read a little. In verse number 1, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And verse 2 said, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done." Verse 3, "He in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them." And notice this, "And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, 'Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourself and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry the filth and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed.'" He's a bless God confessing everybody's sins. "For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord." Notice this, "And the Lord our God hath forsaken him and hath turned away their face from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs." Verse number 7 is what I'm interested in. "And they have shut up the doors of the porch and they have put out the lamps. And have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the Lord God of Israel." Tonight, I want us to think for just a moment. Keep the lamps burning. Or, if you don't like that, just pick you out a title. And I've got another little thought. Over in the book of the Revelation, the church of Sardis said, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." When I was just a young preacher, I was called one Sunday morning before daylight to go to the hospital and pray for a lady, an old gal, God bless her, loved the Lord, going to heaven. I went in and she was making an awful funny racket. I asked the doctor, I said, "What's wrong? What's the deal here?" He said, she's got the death rattles. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, it means she ain't gonna be here long. And I got to thinking about that. And I know of some things in our Baptist churches that have got the death rattles. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Hezekiah's father Ahaz was a very wicked king, closing the house of God and the place and building places of worship to idols. This is not a case of like father, like son, not at all. It was a great sorrow of heart to Hezekiah to look at all that his father, the idolatry that he had done and all that he had said. How it troubled him to see the doors of the temple closed and the lamps put out. His soul no doubt wept in sorrow when he saw the sins of his father and the idolatry of Jerusalem. We see it in his first year and the first month of his reign that he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. His first business was to open the doors, clean the temple out of all the filthiness that had gathered there. He lit the lamps again and called for worship in the house of God. Don't you imagine? It was a happy day for some of the old saints of God that hadn't been able to go to the temple. When they said, we're going to have a meeting tonight. We're going to have church tonight. Bless God, he didn't make civil interest his first business. But he said, first things first. We're going to clean the house of God out. We're going to get right with God. And we're going to light the lamps. We're going to open the doors. And praise God, we're going to worship.
Amen.
You know what? There's something in our Baptist churches, and not all of them, but there is the lamp of just pure Bible preaching, the doctrine of God, the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, some preachers are absolutely not going to preach. You can thank God for your heritage here. You can thank God for the old men of God that have stood here and preached the devil out of you. And I'll tell you one thing, we got to keep it going. I'll tell you right now, old-fashioned gospel preaching has got the death rattles in a lot of churches. I was helping a feller in a meeting one time. He said, if I preach like you do, they'd run me off. I said, I hate to tell you, but I've heard the news, they're going to run you off anyhow. So if I was you, I'd get a good lick in, bless God, before I went. Amen. John said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The devil wants to quench the light. Therefore, he wants to distort the truth and make it a little easier on this modern day crowd. But I'll tell you right now, bless God, the Bible is the Bible. And if you can't preach it, get you a job of selling Avon.
Amen.
I ain't stuttering. Go to selling cars or insurance. If you won't preach, you make it hard on all of us that try to preach.
Amen.
Paul said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. This ain't a bunch of gossip. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. From too many pulpits today issues uncertain sounds. Velvet tongue preachers, silver tongue preachers, preaching your youngins straight into hell. I'll tell you one thing, we need the old time gospel of the grace of God. We don't need this program or that program. We need somebody to rear back and preach the word of God and let it rip, thank God. Somebody may not like it. They ain't never liked it. Listen, we need to preach the doctrine of the deity of Christ. Webster said deity is a divine person, the supreme being of God. Did you know God became man? You know why that God became man? He is God before he ever became man. I never heard of a man becoming God, but I read in this holy book. I read in this holy book where that God in heaven became a man. Great God. Is that good or what? He became a man so he could take on him all of our weakness, all of our mess and junk. And thank God, when you go to pray, he knows what you're talking about. Listen, we need to preach the doctrine of the deity of Christ. Everywhere we hear the ethical Jesus, the social Jesus, Jesus, a good teacher, you come tonight and I'll give you 7 ways how you can think more of yourself. We think too much of ourselves now. I like to hear somebody rear back on their hind leg and preach Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Amen. You read Paul's epistle, and his Jesus is a divine in all respects. In Acts 20 and 28, it talked about the blood of God. Somebody said the Jews killed the Lord. Some said the Romans killed the Lord. Some said we... Listen, he said, I lay down my life, and I've got power one glad morning. Thank God to take it up again. They show in some of the films where the blood coagulated on his face. That's the lie out of hell. His blood never died. His blood's alive. It's living blood. It's life-giving blood. It's blood that'll redeem you from hell. Amen. And that blood will never lose its power. If you get saved by the Holy Ghost, I tell you, I can remember way back when the Holy Ghost used to save people. And now it's 3 points in the poem. 4, 5, 6, and I'll show you the trick. There ain't no trick to it, bless God. If you are not under conviction, you can't even come to God. I'll come when I want to. You're a lie and you will not come. You'll come when the Holy Ghost says, come. You ain't coming there before that. You know what I'm talking about. Divine blood. Sinless blood. We need preaching on the doctrine of the personality and the work of the Holy Ghost. A lot of people, these Baptists, say the Holy Ghost is a ghost. But I'm glad if it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't have never met you. I'd have never met you, preacher. Brother Brown, I'd have never met you. If it hadn't been for the sweet Holy Ghost. I would have never met you. I'd never known you, boy, if it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost. You dear lady sitting up here praising God, I would have never met you. But one day the sweet Holy Ghost convicted me, busted my soul wide open. And thank God, put me in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray God. Don't let that lamp flicker. The preaching of the Word of God. Don't you go to showing movies on Sunday night. Bless God. Take your movie to the house. Watch it at the house. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And this is a place where preaching needs to be done. You don't need to see Mickey Mouse. Bless God, you need to see Jesus lifted up. Listen, our children are liable to grow up to manhood and womanhood without the experience of a real demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. There's been people in this tabernacle this week coming to me and said, our preacher don't preach. He don't preach. And we're star-slapped to death. I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of that going on. It ain't 3 points in the poem. It's the Word of God. The doctrine of the second coming. This doctrine was one of the major parts of the Apostle Paul. In fact, it was so good he called it the blessed hope. If Jesus come right now, it won't interfere with nothing I've got planned. I ain't got a thing planned. I ain't got nothing I want to take with me. And I ain't going to send back after anything. Because it's all been glory to God. It's been paid for. Yeah, the ancient priests, they dressed those lamps. But the devil had put them out. The house was dark. How dare the house of God be dark on Wednesday night and Sunday night when the devil and hell have got neon lights shining everywhere? Come in here and get drunk. Come in here and dance.
Amen.
Another thing that needs a little reviving is that lamp of worship. You can go to the house of God and never worship. You can go and see who sung what. You can go and see who's what, driving what, wearing what. You need to leave all of that behind and go and put your blessed eyes on the sweet Lamb of God and worship, worship, worship. It's all about Him. Yeah, too many of us attend church today only to see what we can get out of it. The week never fails hardly. Somebody will call the church and they'll say, what do you do for the young people? I said, I don't, what do you mean? We're not Carowinds, if that's what you're talking about. What do you do for the young people? I said, we do the same thing we do for the old people. We preach. I've raised a few horses, had some colts, and you know when they follow the mama out to the pasture, that mama will go to nibbling that grass, and that colt will go to nuzzling around one, and what is she doing? And do you know what happens after a while? Huh? You know what happens? That colt will get a taste of that grass. That's, I like that. If your youngin' ever gets a taste of the Holy Ghost of God, they'll like it. Hallelujah, they'll like it.
Amen. Amen.
What a lamb. Thank God. Lord God, help us. We have been entertained. And there has to be a fast-moving program to get young people in, they say. I'll tell you, if you'll get the Holy Ghost in your church, young people will come. They'll be drawn by the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
Have to be musicals and films and people, artists are drawing pictures. It's all right as long as the Holy Ghost is in it. God's presence is only incidental in a lot of our churches. Audiences have become spectators instead of participators. Spectators. Wonder what he'll preach tonight. Bless me if you can. I didn't come to bless you. I come to exalt the sweet Lamb of God and to tell you, let's worship Him. Amen. Responses have died. Hallelujahs and amens are silenced in a lot of our churches. A good hallelujah would scare the devil out of half of them. My mama scared the devil out of more people than I ever preached out of. There's a singing one Sunday morning. The house is full. Choir come down, and they got to singing one of them Holy Ghost songs. And mama, God without any introduction, stood up and screamed like a panther. And that woman right behind her throwed her songbook plumb to the ceiling. Yeah. My God, I'll tell you, let's keep on doing it. Amen. Then there's a third lamp.
Amen.
That's the lamp of the Word of God.
Yes.
This lamp don't need to be rewritten.
Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher.
Amen.
It don't need a thing but to be reread. He said right here, the word of God is a lamp under my feet and a light. A lamp will show you where to step right here. And a light will shine way out yonder. We need both of them. We need both of them. Nothing will meet our need in the hour of sickness or in the hour of death like this lamp of the word of God. This is the word of God. It'll prepare you for death. It'll prepare you for life. I believe the Bible's the infallible, inerrant, variably inspired word of God. I believe it's a message that'll judge us at the end of the day. I don't know if you know it or not, but bless God, that's good preaching. You can sit there, bless God, with your lip hung out, but I know good preaching when I hear it. We don't need no another Bible. We don't have a Sunday of bring the Bible of your choice. Nothing will meet our need like the Word of God. Then let me give you this. Then there is the lamp of morality. Morality will not, won't produce regeneration. But regeneration will produce. Thank God. God, morality. Amen. You know why you don't live right? You ain't got the liver in you. You know why you can't keep you beat out of the dance halls and the beer joints? You missed something. If you can go in there and feel good about it and the Holy Ghost not beat you to death, then you miss God 1,000 miles. Christianity is a life lived. Some people get to God and know God because they seen some saint of God live for God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Nothing will illuminate like the Word of God. It's a daily walk of a Christian. You see a Christian, they're walking right, talking right, and then see them down at the used car lot, and they're a cussing and a fussing and acting. You're driving people away from God. Live right. Yes, sir. I've always said this to the folks there at the church. Live above suspicion. Your car don't need to be found parked at the beer joint. Amen. At the dance hall. Amen. We need to sound the alarm. What we believe and what we practice is two different things. The lamp of sanctification scares people to death about as bad as the Holy Ghost. I want to say this. You know these saints of God are shouting around here. You know these men raise their hand and ain't even got a question. You know what? That's going to die out if you don't keep it up. Do you want your youngin' to see somebody say, well, glory to God. Do you want to see your youngin' with your daddy's hands in the air? You're going to have to straighten up. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for your children. Let them see the mama shout. Let them see daddy take her lap around the building. Amen. They don't need to be eating Oreo cookies while mamas are shouting. Now that don't go over, but who gives a flip? Give me a full salvation. You got to get your ideas and all your values in line. Your marriage ideas. Your money ideas. Somebody said, I'll tell you one thing. If I tithe, I'll starve to death. I said, no, you'll starve to death if you don't tithe. Hey, some of you are driving stole cars now and wearing stole clothes, wearing stole shoes because you robbed God to buy them. Whoa! I wouldn't have come if I'd known he was going to say that. That's right. That pretty shirt you've got on, if you bought it with God's tithe, you stole it. I'll be through in a minute. Your speech has got to be right. Dress right. Walk right. There is a lamp of concentrated home life. You need to be good to your wife. I'm good to the women at the church because they can make a banana pudding. They said, why don't you get on them women sometime? I said, why don't you shut up? I ain't going to get on a woman who can make a coconut cake and a, bless God, a banana pudding. Bring it by the house while it's still warm. If that don't bless you, you ain't got a drop of God or nothing else in you. I love them. Your family altar. Tie your marriage to the family altar. And I'll tell you, you'll be glad you did. Have you ever thought, are you thoughtful to your wife or are you rude? It'll get quieter than this in a minute. Don't worry about it. I've preached in funeral homes. You know what? It wouldn't hurt nothing to get her a birthday card or take her a box of cherry, chocolate-covered cherries or some roses on her birthday or Valentine's Day. Now, don't you go into all that just off of the cuff. I mean, you know. You go in and kiss your wife and lay a lip lock on her and hear some roses. She'll say, call the law. He's drunk again. You just have to ease into it. Just ease into it. There's the lamp of immortality. I'll live again. I got more tracks behind me than I got in front of me. But listen to me. I'll live again. You'll live again if you're born again. I mentioned this the other night, but I want to mention it again. There've been a few times in the stillness of the midnight hour, the devil's walked into the bedroom and said, do you really think you're going to see Jesus someday? Do you really think you're going to see your brother that was burned up in that airplane and his wife? Do you think you're going to see your mama and your daddy again? Yeah. And about the time he's run his mouth enough, the sweet holy dove will come, kiss me as it were on the jaw and say, son, you'll meet him again. We'll shake glad hands with the elders and we'll tell our kindred, good morning. We'll never say good night. Because there won't be none. There won't be any. Let's keep these things alive. Let's keep them going. Let me say this. You know what? I've saw you shouting and I've seen, I enjoy it. God, I enjoy it. But do you know what? On my heart this evening, do you want your grandchild to see it? Yeah, you look up here at me. Amen. Do you want your great-grandchild to see it? Amen. Do you? Amen. If you want them to see old-time Holy Ghost worship, then we're going to have to beat what we're doing in a lot of our Baptist churches. Yes, I'll shout when I get happy, and I'll call your mother-in-law to get permission. If God ever blesses me enough to shout, I ain't going to look at you and say, is it all right? Amen. Amen. That's all right. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Don't you dare let the devil cheat you out of knowing what old time salvation is. Shout. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And for God's sake, don't change Bibles. Amen. 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 I'll tell you one thing. God's good. Yes. Preacher Brown, come on. It's your time. Jake, come here. I don't know if anybody in here believes what I preached.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Say amen.
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 Somebody stole his supper. Somebody whooped his rear end before he come to church. He's done preached on everything from Genesis to Revelation. But I want to take it and just be easy now and be light on your feet, because we're not going to preach again. I want you to listen to me. I was sitting over there listening to what he was saying, and I thought 47 years ago, I started out in this movement. I have not changed movements, and the movement has done a whole lot of changing around me. But I have never seen anything in this whole crowd that delivers us in the time of trouble like the joy unspeakable and full of glory that he was talking about tonight. There has been a lot of people helped under this tabernacle. A lot of people plugged in under this tabernacle. A lot of people who found out that prayer was the key. Not the key subject, it's the key matter. It is the one thing we can do that can keep and assure us to keep what we got on the move for God's glory. I want to encourage you tonight to pray for the churches that are not only in this meeting, but churches all over the upstate, churches all over the eastern United States, that God in these last days that we're living in would bring out prayer warriors and people who know how to soak themselves in the marination of God and just know that God is there and know that God is helping them and blessing them. I'm going to give the invitation to what he prayed. Would that be all right? I'm going to ask you as a church group. I'm going to ask you as a fellowship group. I'm going to ask you as a camp meeting family. I'm going to ask you as a person that came tonight that somewhere along the line he touched something you're struggling with. Some of you used to a whole lot of things that you don't now. Some of you used to agree with things that you used to do that you don't do now, and you disagree with them because you just don't think it's sensible. It's not politically correct. It's not sociable. Well, that's all right. You don't have to be a mean-spirited person that feels like everybody's wrong but you, or nobody's right anymore. Just walk with God and pray and serve the Lord and make sure that he stays number one, and God will honor what he does. Let's stand all over the building. Would you do that for me? And come. Let's come. Just move out. If we got somebody to play something, that's fine. If we don't, that's fine. But the service is over. I want you to let your heart fall. I want you to listen. I want you to come and pray. I want you to come and thank God for old-fashioned worship. I want you to come and thank the Lord for the years that you've been able to come here and enjoy God's grace. I want you to come tonight and say, thank God for old-time worship that I'm not ashamed of. I want you to come from the back of the tabernacle here and find you a place in the sawdust and give God glory and honor and praise. I wonder if I could see a bunch of teenagers pile up on this altar tonight and say, by the grace of God, I'll not let my part die. I'll not let the end of the wagon drag on my life. I'll do what God wants me to do, and I'll pray that God will help me to stand true blue in these days. Come on, come on, come on, come on. All the way from the back to the front, you come on, come on. Let's find us a place in these shavings and not be ashamed. Let's find us a place in these shavings and not be one time apologetic for being here. I'm glad to know tonight that God's love and grace is still here. God's love and power is still available to everybody that wants it. I encourage you to come out from among them. I encourage you to take a step forward toward God. I encourage you to move toward the Holy Ghost. I encourage you to know that God wants to help you and love you. He doesn't want you sinking sand. He wants you standing on the everlasting promises of God. Come while God is calling. Come while we close out this week of meeting and say to the glory of God, we'll pray next week. We'll be here next week. We'll do what we can to hear Brother Joe preach the Word of God. You come on, come on, come on, come on. That's it. There may be a teenage girl. There may be a teenage boy. There may be a husband. There may be a wife. There may be a family member. All over this congregation tonight, there are people who just need to come and find that place of encouragement and strength in Christ Jesus. Oh God, bless your children tonight. Thank you for the preacher. Thank you so much for the people. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for the people. Thank you. I got to visit a couple of days and to be a part with them and enjoy God one more time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you.
Substitute for his power. There's no substitute for his presence. Hallelujah. I appreciate the preaching of the word of God tonight. Appreciate the preaching throughout this week. I know Brother Joe's going to have to step it up. Amen. I thank the Lord for both of these men of God. Amen. Brother Charles and Brother Brown, thank the Lord for them coming and being here. And both of them having a word to say tonight, amen. Can't nobody do it but just the Lord. Now, go a-praying. Come back a-praying in next Monday night. Brother Joe Arthur will be here, Lord willing. Thank the Lord for the good weather we've had this week. And good break and all that, but we're going to come back again. Now, this is the 65th gathering. I know a lot of things have changed, but not the things that matter. Not the things that matter. And we've been reminded of that tonight. Father, I thank you for the preaching of the word of God, your servants, and what you've done this week, oh God. Lord, may we leave and draw back next week expecting you to do even more. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanks. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen, Rebecca.
It's been good to be, and I thank you for coming.
Amen.
We ran and yesterday wanted to the doctor with Cecily and Jeffrey and the baby. And the whole way there to Charlotte, the devil was telling me, where's your God now? Where's your
listen,
God now? And I was
listen,
down and down
listen.
And away. But we were trying to find where to park and we were pulling in and the Lord just put a peace in my heart about it. He said, I'm here.
Amen.
I'm here.
Amen. 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 Bless his name. He's a God worthy to be praised.
He's a God worthy to be thanked. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shake hands, you go. You're at liberty. If you've minded the Lord this week and tonight. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone.